library and capital funds an additional $70,000 in property taxes. In fact, we only gave them a total of about $25,000, and we had to cut a fair bit of that. So in the end, about one-third of the solution to last year's budget circumstance was solved through property tax increases. About 22% of it was building permits, mostly associated with the ballpark commons. And so those won't necessarily be ongoing. So that's over half the problem was solved by those two things. And what you can see from this column over here is the rest of it was solved by an accumulation of lots of smaller actions. I mean, still things that were, in this case, I'm just pulling in the bigger ones, you know, in the 30 and 40,000. But so it took a lot of individual strategies to solve it. We won't have a silver bullet to sort of solve it. So, you know, so if there's no questions on how we actually solved the big picture of solved last year's, then when you go to this year's, most of the problems and challenges follow through from the prior year. The initial projection for 99, if you look at average of about 2% on wages, and the fact that both of our labor contracts for police and fire, which is the bulk of our employee costs, those contracts are expiring at the end of this year. So we will have an unknown going into 2019. The challenge with that is you say, well, we can solve half the problem by not doing anything there, just no wage increases. That becomes problematic because in this job market, it becomes difficult to retain people if you have those sorts of policies for very long. And then you have higher turnover, and turnover tends to, although it saves you money in the short term, tends to really impact productivity and efficiency because you're doing lots of training, you have people missing, so you end up having service cuts that you don't necessarily feel as much because stuff just doesn't get as done as efficiently when you're continually having turnover. So that's the biggest cost piece of all of the total deficit, but it's also a risky one to deal with. And we did it very cautiously and appropriately last year, looking at individual circumstances. Health insurance is another one that fits in that same cost. Estimating about 15%, which is the current market estimate for carry forward, would add about 381. We all have been working for almost 2 months now to develop a high deductible HSA to bring in for next year. We indicated last year that was our plan, and we've been moving that forward. And we're hopeful to be able to bring this down by, let's say at this point, maybe half, maybe two-thirds. It really depends. To get as aggressive as two-thirds, you might be looking at year two of the HSA. But that's sort of pie-in-the-sky numbers. You see, I don't have anything out here, but we are looking for that significant aspect. We did anticipate that there will be some minor increases. You take, you know, our general contracted services, everything from maintenance agreements on the elevators to all of those standard contracts we have, our IT services. If they go up 5%, we're going to have 13,000. Utilities going up just 3% would add this. So some small amounts and increases, as you can see, as a total. That's all less than $100,000 of increase in a $24, $25 million budget. You know, last year, overall, we did bring them down from where we expected they would be. But that will, as we've talked about for a number of years, that gets harder and harder to do every year. The police grants, this hasn't estimated that it would be a challenge, meaning that we're going to fill that hole. What that means is that if the state isn't providing those grants, all of a sudden, we don't have funding for all of our 42 patrol officers because some of their cost is funded by grants. So we would have to get next year the same amount that we have this year to keep those same officers in place. Otherwise, we have to fill the hole or vacate a chair. So that's a very challenging thing. But for 2019, we've continued what we put into place for 2018 and relied upon that grant. Building permits, this is a very rough estimate, but we increased our budget by $350,000 this year. I'm at this point guessing about two-thirds of that won't necessarily occur again next year. Now, one of the things we did last summer is begin to build a better model of sort of the long-term realistic expectations for development throughout 2018 and 19 and deciding where what buildings will land and then try to estimate individual permits. We'll do that again this year and fine-tune it. But with the amount of activity in the Ballpark Commons area, I don't think next year we'll necessarily reach that same level with the, given the magnitude of that TIF district involvement. But we'll do some work there. So at this point, though, we've assumed that still at least a third of the activity remains. Ambulance fees, we've anticipated this 16.5 is whether or not the county keeps up a portion of what they have. And then at the bottom, we've anticipated already that at a minimum, you will take the property tax associated with net new growth, and that what the library and capital funds get won't be as much as we tried to give them last year, but as much as we actually gave them. That leaves us with a preliminary budget deficit of about $1.1 million to solve. So we'll start this discussion on a couple of these items in a little more detail in July, probably, like we tried to do last year. For I think each month we tried to bring a couple issues so that we could judge what direction you wanted to head. At some point, you know, we will run into this circumstance, like I said in the 2017 and 18 budget documents. At some point, when you look at this sort of dilemma, you say, you know, can we continue to tax or do we have to cut services? You know, we've been very efficient for many years now and found ways to pare back, and we've continued to do that. And last year, you can see by how we solved the problem, we were creative and we attacked it on a broad spectrum of solutions. I'm sure we'll have to do that again this year, but in the back of your minds, you'll need to continue to think about what services do we have, do we need them all to continue, and if so, you know, are the citizens willing to pay for them, or how can they be changed, how can they be altered? The mayor mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, we have a vacancy at our health director position. We're going to be using another community later in this agenda to help us in that transition period. You know, all sorts of discussions need to be open if you want to try to avoid continuing to have tax increases like last year, or you have to look at, you know, the potential for what services could be altered. So that's what we wanted to do, was give us a starting position.
Alderman Till.
Well, last time we were here, and I didn't vote for the budget, but we went back and used previous levies that we didn't use right in the past because we were 000. Well, you can't do that again, right? I mean, so now you only, where you had almost 600,000 or 518,000 or whatever, you only have 100. So, you know, you came in with $1.6 million deficit. You made a bunch of changes or potential solutions in June, and that got it down to 730,000. Well, how you really eliminated that was taking, you know, 518 of it, you know, property tax and all that. I mean, where's the $600,000 magic bullet this year?
There are still options on the property tax side. For the 2018 budget, the only amount of the prior year's tax that we used was 1 year. Because in a year where you increase your GO debt, and obviously we've scheduled a lot of borrowing for this year, in a year where you do that, you're limited in only going back 1 year. So depending upon how 2019 debt service is scheduled, if there's no new debt in 2019, then we can go back up to 5 years back. So there are prior year taxes that can be used. Also, the debt levy limit doesn't apply to, or the levy limit doesn't apply to levy for debt purposes. And we have about $1.3 million, I believe, in levy on the debt side. So we can tax for that separately and transfer some of that 1.3 back to the, effectively transfer it back to the positive side. So that's a card or two that could be played for a couple more years if the city felt it needed to do that to maintain levels of service. So that still is an option available to us.
Alderman Dandridge.
Well, Mark, we've got to be careful globally in regards to how we look out there in the financial market as well. We don't properly use our proper utilize or take advantage of incremental growth. I mean, Paul can answer this. How do we look to the financial world if we need to go out and get bonding? We're going to see that in agenda items coming up tonight yet. We could potentially have a negative effect on our bond rating to investors.
That's absolutely the case. But also, when you compare us to most of the municipalities in the state of Wisconsin, we have a very strong bond rating. We have a very good fund balance, and we still have regular levy that we're applying to debt that we can pull over. Part of the solution may very well be being one of the people standing up the longest with our head above the water before the state has to change the rules, because there are many municipalities in much worse shape than us. When the state did a levy limit like this for a number of years, back before the year 2000, it only lasted for a while before they had to end it. This one, they first instituted, had run for a number of years, and then they added some flexibility to it when everybody bumped up against the wall. I don't know how much longer they can do it. So we're in a better position than those other communities, but I agree with you that some of the steps, one of the reasons we have a strong bond rating is because we haven't had to go to some of the extremes that others have, borrowing up to the borrowing limits and not, you know, already using all of the amount that they can for debt service, borrowing for things that we frankly would never consider borrowing for. You know, we could borrow every year for all of our police cars. It's not a good idea, but there are communities that do that in order to use this other side of the debt equation and dance around the levy limit. So we're in a better position, but I agree with you, the longer it lasts, we will begin to look more like some of these other communities.
Mark, I totally agree. I know that we're in a very good position compared to a lot of municipalities out there. I'm just saying we've got to take a balanced approach when we look. I mean, we've come across with low to none in regards to taxing or even taking advantage of incremental growth tax in the past. And now we're looking at possibly utilizing a tool to recapture some of it, which is totally legal. I understand that. But I'm also saying is if we have incremental growth this year, you know, from this past year, we may have to start looking at using that, because otherwise we're just playing a mind game with taxpayers. Correct? I mean, we're not going to take it this year. We're going to look good. We're going to have a 0% increase, but we're going to go grab, prior years. So I'm just saying is, hey, we have to all remember that as council members and be fair in regards to, I don't want to manipulate the numbers. I mean, I want to be creative, but also be realistic out there as well to our constituents out there. That's all.
I can't argue with that.
Okay. Motion received and placed on file.
Second.
One more question. Hey, Paul, can you make sure that finance, that we start sharing this with the finance committee?
We can do that.
Make sure that they're attuned to this. Thanks.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G15, methods to improve our city bond rating. This will be an interesting conversation. By the way, we do hold bond rating calls when we issue bond debt, typically attended by three guys in this room plus whoever's the economic development director at the time. I would extend to you, all of you, the opportunity to come and sit with us, not participate, but sit with us in these bond calls. It's many times very boring, but a lot of times pretty interesting, too. Mr. Ratzenberger.
This item is before you as I brought this item to the Finance Committee at its most recent meeting, talking about the debt rating that the city has. You might recall that in December of 2017, about 6 months ago, we went back to the debt markets for the 2018 Capital Improvement Fund needs, and at that time, Moody's, who the city hires and pays some money to rate the city's debt, downgraded the city from AA1 to AA2 at that point in time. The city went back to the debt markets in April of this year for note anticipation notes to fund TID 5 Ballpark Commons on the city's commitment to that, and the city retained that AA2 rating. There's a lot of detail in this particular council action sheet, which I'm sure you've all read and had a chance to look through. The gist of this is that the Moody's uses a number of different factors. Some of them the city has more control over, some the city has less control over. But the Alderman Dandria referred earlier to the amount of revenue that the city has to fund balance, which is one of the measures that's out there. The city has not rated particularly well in that category because of our history. And the debt markets or the bond rating folks do not look at our budget going forward. They look at our actual history in the past. So whatever we budget isn't as important as how we actually perform in terms of our results. The other item I would mention to you is that when you look at your CAFR document that was recently brought before the Common Council, and you look at the governmental funds, which are the short-term funds, where the city generated a $400,000 surplus last year, that included $1 million of surplus from the non-major funds. The bond markets do not look at that fund, so we don't get any credit for that. We ended up with a deficit last year because they only look at the general fund, where we had a significant deficit, our debt fund and our TID funds. So we ended up with a fairly sizable deficit last year on the particular bond ratings that are going on. I don't anticipate that going forward, but those are things you have to keep in mind as you're looking at this. There's been discussion with various parties that they thought the city should have retained its AA1 rating. When we look at Moody's and how the city actually scored us, we are in the bottom half of the range for the AA2 rating. And so that's why we scored there. We're closer to AA3 than we are to AA1. And that's just another item that the city and the council should keep in mind. The reason it's important is those ratings significantly impact how the bond markets then charge you for the debt that you go to in the marketplace and how well your debt trades in the marketplace. We're not as concerned about how our debt rate trades in the marketplace after we issue it, but the bond market's very concerned about that. When our debt goes down in rating, people who are holding our debt and need to sell that debt to raise capital for themselves end up losing money because the rates just went up and the value of their bond went down. And that's why it's important to us to retain those good credit ratings. So the Finance Committee thought it was important that the Common Council be made aware of that. They're not asking you to take any particular action, but that you have a good understanding of how the bond ratings take place and what our position is.
Questions? I'd like the Finance Committee to stay on top of that because it's important stuff. No questions? G16 is recommendation from Finance Commission on update of impact fee study. Somebody please make the motion.
I'll make the motion to direct staff to commission update impact fee study by September 1, 2018.
I'll second.
And we need to do this. I mentioned earlier, we're out of whack. I mean, you're going to hear probably on Thursday some of the challenges of Ballpark Commons and investors and raising equity and all that good stuff. So we need to get our act together here.
By the way, for the record, the mayor returned to his seat at 8:30. Alderman Mayer came in through a different door at 8:32. And Alderwoman Wilhelm has just left at 8:50. Mr. Roberto.
I would only suggest that September 1 doesn't let us bring it to that first meeting. You don't have a lot of you have just a couple of meetings before then.
What do you want?
Just even adding the first meeting.
Okay, first meeting in September. Yeah, first meeting in September.
That gives us.
That's fine. Yeah, first meeting. That's fine.
I'll amend that.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And let's take a hard look at parks impact fees.
Yeah.
Hard.
Yes.
G17 on page 155 is an ordinance to amend 207.
So moved.
10C2. This relates to the Franklin Municipal Code water utility cash account. All those in favor?
Aye.
Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We're back to that routine again. Motion carries. G18 on page 159 is the monthly financial
report.
Motion
received and placed on file.
Second.
Anything you want to bring to our attention? All those in favor? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G19 is approval of revised.
Motion approved. Second. My questions were answered.
Harassment policy. All those in favor? Signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. G20 is an agreement with City of Greenfield to serve as interim health officer for the City of Franklin.
So
Mr.
Moved.
City Attorney.
Second.
Mr. City
Only
Attorney.
With regard to the action sheet where it references assistance in the contract review by the administrator or the city attorney. Brian Sadak in our office became the Greenfield city attorney as of May 1 of this year, so we would have a conflict. So either it's the director of administration or if there's some legal question that he can't deal with, I would suggest labor counsel.
No. Greenfield has the conflict, not Franklin.
Right. Yeah.
That's a great point.
Yeah. Right.
All those in motion. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G21, authorize Fred Bonkart to work on IT stuff.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G22 is a resolution setting forth a date and form of questions for an advisory referendum ballot regarding a state enactment of dark stores legislation.
Motion to approve.
There's a $2,000 cost to this. It is advisory only. I do support it for the political nature of it. I fully don't expect anything to come, if it passes, at the state because it passes. Alderman Taylor.
I just, you have a second? I'm not seconding.
Is there a second? You made the motion.
I'm not seconding it, no.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay.
And I'll make that point again. Motions don't always need a second, but I appreciate that one.
I talked to the mayor about this earlier. You know, I have issues with certain types of referendum questions. While we have a position here on the city, that's fine. I don't like long questions like this. I mean, I think people are going to read this, and I don't think we're going to get the feedback that we want. I think people are going to find it confusing. I think when people find things confusing, they usually vote no. I don't really think that the state cares what our position is. I mean, at the county level, we would bring these stupid referendum questions forward all the time, and I would never support them there because I think, you know, like I said, when you're asking with the federal government, you know, telling them to do something, or like this one that's going up here about marijuana, legalization of marijuana, and the state doesn't care. This is a political issue, definitely. You have the manufacturers give big money to the legislature. They don't want to touch this. We have a state senator who's been disappointing on this, and I know that's part of what we're trying to direct at. I just don't think that they care. And so for that reason, I'm just not going to support it. I'm keeping with the, you know, past practice. Whether it passes here or not, that's fine. I just think it's a confusing situation. It's confusing for even people that are paying attention to it. I think on a ballot is just too much. It's not a simple yes or no, you know, should we raise taxes on because we want to add more firefighters or something like that. I mean, this is an issue with me.
Alderman Dendre.
And I did share that with the mayor.
You know, the mayor got this from an email that I sent him. Okay, so this came about because there are several other municipalities in the state during this time that are actually putting this on their ballots in November. Okay, and so the city of Appleton is, the city of Kenosha is, just two examples of municipalities that are doing this. Is it going on deaf ears? You know, a positive outcome would let the state know that, hey, we voted positive on this, and maybe it'll send some waves. If we don't try, we don't know. It costs $2,000. Hey, that's minimal to put it on the agenda. Hey, can this be retuned? Or, you know, refined. No, this is the document that was, I think, put together, and maybe this.
The League of Municipalities written.
The League of Municipalities wrote it. So.
Right, but we could word it any way we wanted to get to.
And put it on November.
Because here's the thing, all right. So back in 2017, April spring election, Milwaukee County puts on the ballot. Do you want a $60, Chris Abley's $60 wheel tax increase? I mean, simple. Are you simple? That was so simple. And it was 72% of the county, 88% in it, or 85, 6, 7, something like that, of my district. Only one out of 18 districts in Milwaukee County, which was Wasserman's, voted no, like 51-49. All right, so Eastsiders, okay, think about that. Shorewood, that area, okay? You know, Crazyville, right?
They don't have cars either.
Asked a very simple question. I said, I'm not going to support this, but if you put in a question that was very simple that we decided that would help give us the answer that we want, that's a different story. I think this could fail because it doesn't tell me anything. When I'm confused, I'm not going to vote yes. So I would say come back with a question. I'm still not going to support it. Come back with a question where you know the results are going to be what you want.
And the point is, it's on for tonight because if it wants to go on the August 14th, whatever it is,
14th.
Primary, it's got to go.
So then put it in November, which we also are going to maybe have another one. So are we going to have two? Do we want to do that? You know, those are all things this body has. What's more important?
So I have no heartburn.
What's more important, this referendum question or the one that we really need, that we're going to spend money taking surveys and things like that, which is going to be coming up next cycle? So I just don't know.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I agree. I think the other question we have is going to be more important. Mm-hmm. And if we go with this one the way it is, it's going to get news media from all the other municipalities. So why should we rewrite it? If it doesn't get a good response, it's no skin off of us, really. I mean,
well, I don't know that you want to put a referendum question out that you don't know what the answer is going to be.
Right. That's
well,
what this is.
It's just like an arbitrary thing. It's not like it's going to have like this big weight. It's just going to send a message, really.
But the problem is if it doesn't pass, it makes a bigger noise than if it does pass.
That's what I'm saying. It's too confusing. It's too and the clerk. I saw she was nodding her head a little bit when I was talking because she understands this stuff and referendum questions. Maybe we'd like to ask her, but I'm pretty sure that confusing questions may not get the result that we want. So then why do it?
I'm okay with any decision you guys make. I'm okay with.
I didn't really finish, but that's okay.
I just want to mention that by state law, we do have to do an explanation of a yes vote and a no vote. But if the voter is not clear on the question, even if they read the explanation, it does aggravate a lot of voters, so just want to relay that. It's up to you.
So I think my recommendation, I know we have a motion to approve, my recommendation would lay this over, bring it back at the next cycle and maybe come up with a different question. Like I said, I'm not going to support it regardless, but another question, and then determine and have the conversation. We also have another issue that we're going to put a referendum. Now what's more important? Do we want to have two at the same time? I think we have to be careful. I don't know if we should have two at the same time. We don't. Since I've been here, I'm trying to think. Since 20, besides the school referendum questions, I don't think the city of Franklin has done a referendum question since I've been in office since 2008. That was before my time. So if we're going to do one, and like I said, the one that we're going to talk about in 2 weeks is extremely important. I don't think we muck it up with this.
Alderman Wilhelm still had things to say.
No, not going to bother.
So do you want to vote no, or do you want to withdraw the motion, or what do you guys want to do? All those in favor of the motion to approve signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Aye.
Motion.
Let's do it.
Okay. Yes, let's do a roll call.
Or just withdraw it. Just withdraw it.
No, I already
Alderman.
No, we voted no.
Alderman so D'Andrea?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
No.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
No.
Alderman Barber?
No.
Alderman Nelson?
No.
Kristen said aye. Now I had to think about it. Four no's. Well, let's do this right. Two ayes, four no's. Motion fails.
That's Alderwoman Wilhelm.
What did I say?
Kristen.
Oh, sorry. Wow. Alderman D'Andrea, do you have another motion?
It's not everything.
Well, I'd have a question for the city attorney then.
We don't want him to draft it.
If we don't want to read...
No, not for tonight. Not for tomorrow. This is done for tomorrow. Yeah, this is done for this election cycle.
This is done.
That's all right. Mark, no. You want to do this more? We'll work on it.
We'll work on it.
Item G23 on page 201 is a notice of claim of injury.
I will make a motion to deny, and let me read the what I'm supposed to say here, because I always enjoy this a little bit. Motion to deny the notice of claim and notice of injury on behalf of Enrique Ferreira. Teresa Faria and Gerardo Faria pursuant.
Skills.
What? Yeah. Well, I know. Pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 893, based upon and in concurrence with the attorney representing the city, that the investigation revealed that there are too many questions and issues, including but not limited to substantial damages and an application of discretionary immunity per Wisconsin statute, making acceptance of the claim or settlement considerations premature as discussed in the council action sheet.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, we got licensing here.
H1 licensing, Alderman Taylor.
All right. Mega Marts is approved. Country Lanes is approved. We have the music festival here at Croatian Park. We have approved with Friday and Saturday music till 11 and Sunday till 10 p.m. Then we have...
I have a question on that.
What?
Question.
Yes.
11 o'clock for them. They are adjacent to a residential neighborhood.
Right. And
we have conditions on The Rock, who is also a residential neighborhood adjacent.
This was the time that they had last year. They are they face the music to the
opposite
direction, the south where there's nothing.
To, and so they entertain the inmates.
The house and inmates. It was exactly. Just another.
I don't know what that is. I hear it every weekend.
Yeah, I have no idea. And we also, the alderman of the district had no comments. They did it last year,
okay.
And there was no issues, so that's why.
Okay.
Okay, so then we have Damask, both that approve. And then Hinkle, Cologne, and Tripler all approve with a letter. On page two, the first two, Nicole, she's approved. Then you have Iron Mike's Bar, approved with inspection. River, approved with inspection. Rounding Third Pizza, approved with inspection and money. You got the Bistro, approved with inspection. Games R Us, approved but pending money. They got no payment. They may be out of business, it looks like, or something. Then you got Al's Auto Savage, approved with inspection. At Academy of Integrity, approved with inspection. Kristen, both are approved. Evan, was hold for appearance on hit both of his. So then you have from Borison through Hobrick, they're all approved. Then you have Rita, we're asking her to come in, so hold for appearance, and the rest on page three are approved. Everybody on page four is approved except for Wendy, where she is approved, but she has to complete her application. On page five, we have Larry through Kristen, we got to approve, and then Callie Dunn, she is approved, but she needs a seal and notary, so somebody in the clerk's office was slacking a little bit, I guess, huh? Then we got Matthew through Stefan approve, and Patricia Greer approve pending. She has to complete the application, and then the final two are approve on page 5. And then everybody on page 6 and 7 are approved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Alderman Wilhelm? You got something?
Yeah, I'm helping the clerk keep up on everything here.
Helping her keep up.
Wow.
Keep up. Slacking. Keep up.
That's not him. What I
don't look at me.
Yep.
She has to try to write them. She
yeah.
can't talk as
wow.
fast as you're going.
Well, she has someone next to her talking to her the whole meeting. I mean, come on. She's got a
okay,
distraction.
Okay, motion carries. Item I-1, vouchers. Is there a motion approving the following? City vouchers with an ending date of June 1, 2018 in the amount of $1,203,346.96 and payroll dated May 25, 2018 in the amount of $380,611.12 in payments to the various payroll deductions in the amount of $389,522.19 plus city matching
nobody's
payments. An estimated payroll dated June 8th, estimated at $399,000, and payments to various payroll deductions estimated at $210,000 plus city matching payments, and property tax refunds with an ending date of May 31st in the amount of $3,003,225.01.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dander.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.